Final case this morning is Sapnovskaya against Ashcroft. At least, not sure. Adversary gets seated. Ms. Margolin.
And let's talk about that, because I want to talk about the changed country conditions. And even though we may not rubber stamp those reports, the reports do show substantial improvements in the Ukraine for Jews, like Jewish mayors have been elected and several synagogues have opened. How do you claim that you will face, or she would face, persecution when so many Jewish Ukrainians seem not to? And that's what I'm saying, and I'm going beyond. I'm saying that, but these are facts that I assume that are not disputed. That is, the Jewish mayors have been elected and that synagogues have opened. I appreciate that.
Would you like to give us any proof of that or any examples of that in modern times? Now, you have in your brief some examples of these situations. Jews have been treated badly in recent times. Back of your brief, is this the entirety of it, or are there others? Why don't you tell me about what's not in front of me here, but what's in the administrative, in the record?
Thank you. auditorium. In your hearing. Would not be the mention.
Recall reading something about this decision having been written before the hearing, am I right? How do we know that? How do we know that? Was the hearing of October actually held?
No.
Well, when was the last hearing? When did at some point there was a hearing?
There was a preliminary hearing.
Now, all of this material that you've just told me about, that's in the record. When did that get into the record?
Yeah.
After remand, though. That's how you got it in the record, but then your claim is that the judge didn't also hold a hearing with respect to that information.
Exactly.
Nor did your client ever get a chance to testify on remand?
No, yeah.
Your view is she overlooked that material.
She
in favor of or inconclusive?
It was in fact, in the very
Thank you, counsel. Fiorina.
But what about all this stuff that the IJ failed to consider? The various things that counsel outlined, you know, articles and evidence with respect to cemeteries and bombings and these various newspaper reports that the IJ makes no mention of whatsoever. Yes, but looking at it in the context of the State Department reports, which we have to really go beyond that.
No, the issue is how does one analyze the claim? And that an alien is certainly entitled to contend that the country report is inaccurate. And you do that by submitting evidence. And then presumably the immigration judge analyzes the evidence. And if in the end the immigration judge says, I rest on the country report, that's substantial evidence for the decision. But the problem here is the immigration judge seems never to have mentioned any contrary evidence. Now, you agree that it's in the record, do you not?
Yes.
So why doesn't the immigration judge have to mention it? No. This is not a problem with every piece of evidence. It's not a problem that the immigration judge mentioned 39 and forgot number 40. One would think from reading the immigration judge's opinion that there was no other evidence, that the only thing in the record was the country report. Nothing conclusively shows that. You agree, I take it, that there was contrary evidence submitted, right? What do you mean, with some qualifications? You mean it wasn't properly in the record?
No.
I'm not talking about the State Department report. You agree that the alien submitted evidence in an effort to undermine the country report, is that
yes.
correct? And it's really in the record, right? Okay. So why doesn't the judge have to discuss it, to explain why the judge thinks the country report is the best appreciation of conditions? How is that apparent to you? Or more to the point, how is that apparent to us?
Right.
Since the immigration judge doesn't mention that any such evidence had been submitted. Right? If this were a district judge and this were a trial and we were reviewing this under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 52, this would go back to the district court for further proceedings with skids under it. If this were the NLRB and the Labor Board had failed to mention any of the evidence submitted by the employer and had discussed only the evidence submitted by the union, or the reverse, it would go back with skids under it. Why is this any different?
Because
we're saying it's very hard for us to make that judgment when the immigration judge doesn't talk about the other evidence that was presented, especially when you have the gender mix-up, and in addition to the gender mix-up, the immigration judge is talking about credibility, and that's it was reversed on that point. It was sent back on that point. So it seems to me that the immigration judge was at best sloppy in terms of the approach, and at worst didn't recognize that that evidence existed. Yeah, but in the context of the whole record, it troubles me that you know that these all these things pile up, and then we don't have any mention of all this evidence that was submitted. So. And I agree with you; those are very dinky and picky. If we didn't have the big problem that I see as a glaring problem.
Look, substantial evidence is the standard for administrative law in general. Suppose this were a Social Security disability case, and the Social Security Administration had presented evidence that the claimant could work. The claimant had presented evidence that she was disabled, and the immigration and the ALJ discussed only the evidence submitted by the Social Security Administration and didn't mention the evidence submitted by the claimant. What do you think would happen? I can tell you what would happen. It would go back with skids under it. But it would not go back by anybody using a skid steer motor. I can't imagine why that would be relevant. This petitioner has been in the United States for a while. Let's suppose the case that there is a Holocaust going on in Ukraine, that all Jews are being killed. Would you say, well, that's completely irrelevant because none of that evidence concerns this petitioner? No, you wouldn't say that. So it is utterly irrelevant to understanding current country conditions in Ukraine whether any of these things has happened to this petitioner. Right? There was, I gather, some dispute in this in the paper submitted to the immigration judge whether Ukraine still has a propiska system, and if so, what lack of a propiska entails. Did the immigration judge resolve any of that dispute? That is your view, I'm sure. The immigration judge didn't find that as a fact about Ukraine, did he? Did she?
No.
Is there some source of evidence beyond dispute that we could go to verify your view of what a propiska in Ukraine means or doesn't mean? Something that's of judicial notice quality? Okay. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.